Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, and boy, it has been a trying last couple weeks. I was out on vacation, and then I got back from vacation, and all of a sudden a tornado rolls through my city. That's not supposed to happen in Wisconsin. Knocked power out to the whole city for 3 days, but now we are back, and we're ready to get this show back on track. We're going to have a huge episode here in terms of what we're going to cover. And in order to cover these matches, I'm going to need an expert, a true expert. So who better than the current number 2 on the entire site? Say hello to Mr. Yo Blazer.
Now you've got me curious, and I have to ask, is Wisconsin's Packer pride so great such that they would not pray to Brett Favre in order to prevent a second tornado? Would they pray to him to prevent one?
Absolutely not. We are still quite upset at Brett. However, over the years, and he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame in, I think, 2 years here. Hopefully by then we'll have forgiven him. But as of right now, we're still very upset at that guy for constantly retiring.
You know, that passion and that commitment inspires me. It's almost as much as the passion and commitment we have here. Because it's been a while, man. Let me tell you, it's been like almost 3 weeks for you, almost a month for me. You know how long that is? I missed my chance to make fun of Clementine. I'm never going to get that back. I had the best rant of all rants prepared. Like zombies, like throwing little kids, you know, into like zombie-infested streets and all that stuff. I had it all. I can't do that anymore. It's gone. But you know what? We're still here. We're going to get you through these last couple weeks. We're going to get you through round one. It's going to be a great episode. Of course, it's always a pleasure for me, especially tonight, because we have, without a doubt, the best guest we've ever had on this show.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and say hello to no one.
That's right, boys. We don't need no third wheel. It's 2 in the morning on Monday night. It's just me and NG. That's all. That's all you get. That's all you need. That's all you crave. That's all you love. Let's roll it, brother.
Yeah, we got to tear through these results. So who needs a third voice? Certainly not us. Hopefully you do enjoy the show. We'll get things back on track and with the regular guest rotation next week. The thing I thought the viewers most missed out on, though, was you getting to talk about Bayonetta. Your very own match pick. You invented your own factor. Do you have just a second to tell the fans about that?
Sure. Well, I got to thank Whiskey Nick and Wiggs, you know, for repping Booty Factor. I just want to say that for anybody who tries to, you know, to come up with their own examples of Booty Factor in the future, it is a much more nuanced and complicated thing than just sticking a pair of jugs on there, because you've got to have your character, preferably a female character, but I'll also accept Solid Snake. You know, she's got to be, like, booty out so you can see the booty, so it's basically like a back shot, but she's still got to be, like, turned toward the crowd so you get a face shot. So you got to get, like, the booty and the face in one picture. So already in rounds where it's just, like, a headshot, that type of picture is completely eliminated. You know, so it's tough. There are fewer examples of it out there. So for anybody who wants to try it in the future, I say Godspeed and tally-ho, but kind of know what you're getting yourself into there.
Okay, so we have got to talk about a match that took place earlier this morning, one of the most controversial matches in quite a while, and that was Mizno, Titus, Banjo. Now, the way this one started out, Mizno had a quite comfortable lead as of when I went to bed, so I didn't even give this match a second thought. I said, Titus come back overnight, but then during the day, you know, it's Pokemon, it's nostalgia, it's obviously going to go ahead and win by quite a bit. Instead, we had a back-and-forth affair, came down to a 23-vote win only for Mizno. Yo, how much of this match did you see, and what were your thoughts?
You're still calling him Mizno, eh?
Got to stick with it. Yeah, it's show tradition at this point.
All right, you call him Mizno, I'm going to call him The Miz, because he came to play. Oh, wait. No, he didn't. He almost lost and cost everyone who backed Pokemon in this contest everything. And he's going to cost us everything next round, because that was so bad. And Squall is just going to cut that glitch up into, like, smaller glitchlets. It's going to be real ugly. But As for the match, I think both you and I missed the whole thing.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I was just not terribly excited for it because I was expecting I was hoping for a big win so that he can compete against Squall in the next round. I've got the glitch in my bracket in the next round, and I just kind of looked at it at the beginning and grimaced and thought, like, Titus is definitely coming back, but you know what? The Miz, he'll pull it through with the last couple of updates. That's exactly what happened. They weren't going to let him drop it. But for a match that was super close between Nintendo and Square and ended up with one of our tiniest margins of victories ever, I just thought it was kind of uninteresting and not that exciting, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that takes away from it is these guys were having a back-and-forth affair, and yet they're only doubling Banjo, who has looked terrible every single time we've seen him.
That is a good point. This was crap all around.
Not exactly a couple powerhouses going back and forth. Not quite as fun as beating Chrono and giving Sephiroth a real run. Now, Yo did mention that it would have killed our brackets, and that's certainly true. A huge discrepancy here. 90% of gurus went with Mizno against only 45% of the site at large. So that would have really killed us. But the thing that made this controversial is that SB did come down at the end of the match and say, with a close match like this, I had to look into it, what went on, and there was some cheating in this match.
Yep.
There was some. There was a Reddit rally at the end, which probably saved Mizno. But in addition to that, there were some attempted cheating proxy votes. The surprising thing, though, is he says it was 2-1 in favor of Titus.
Oh, man.
That the Square guys were the ones who were cheating, not the glitch that somehow almost beat two Noble Niners. That's pretty insane.
That announcement was the best part of the match. At that point, when it's freaking Titus, Titus, whatever, when he's the one getting cheated for 2-for-1, at that point, SB Allen should have just came out and said who it was. Because it's definitely somebody on board 8. Just reveal yourself so we could all just share a hearty laugh. Who was it, man? Who was it, like, sitting there alone in their room at night? Just kind of like we're doing now. But, I mean, different circumstances completely.
Yep.
Who is – I just want to know just so I can have, like, a great guffaw with them, and if I just wish I could like buy them an e-beer and just kind of email it over to them, because man, that was really funny.
So the whole board was up in arms because they said there was obviously cheating in this match. It's obvious Mizno did something. SB is going to roll in the topic and here and lay down the law and give us the win that Titus deserved, his first win since 2005 when he beat the King of All Cosmos, which is pretty sad. One of the faces of Square, but so it did happen, and yet SB comes in and swings it totally the other way. No, actually, Square, the more legit character, was the one cheating even more. So very funny. I can't be too upset about it because, as Yo said, I do believe that Squall is going to have no problem. He's just on a different level than what we've seen out of Titus in more recent years. So should be able to put away this glitch without problems. Although, yo, what about this? What if Banjo was there sucking away all that Nintendo support, and that's the only reason Mizno looks so bad?
Ooh, I don't know. That's kind of a stretch, because I think Mizno, he's kind of his own thing. I mean, I'm not sure how much of that, you know, Nintendo support he's actually writing in the traditional sense. And even if he is, I'm not sure how much of that's going to be soaked up by Banjo. I mean, like you said, Banjo is, like, almost avoiding the doubling against these guys. And they were being artificially propped up because they were having a close one-on-one match with each other. If it was just, like, you know, if nobody was rallying for both of these guys, Banjo would look even stronger, which makes all three of them look really weak, which means I think Squall is just going to roll through the next round. And it's kind of refreshing because it means that, you know, the, like, Misigno by far it has had the weakest performance of any Pokemon character.
Yep.
All the others, I think, have looked
well,
pretty
except
good.
Jigglypuff.
Yeah, Jigglypuff you don't even count. I mean, the ones that are actually in discussion for matches.
Yep.
So of all the discussed Pokemon characters, Misigno by far looks the worst, which means that people, I guess, remember the joke from last time and it kind of lost its luster. So, you know, I'll take losing 3 points in the next round if it means that, you know, the glitch isn't going to be doing crap anymore, like beating Chrono. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
call me a curmudgeonly old man, but I'll take that. That's worth 3 points for me.
Well, what we've generally agreed on in the past is that Pokemon is kind of different from the rest of Nintendo. Like, it's on the handheld side of things, and so it seems to hold up against other console-based Nintendo characters better than a lot of other things. So I wouldn't put too much stock in Banjo holding it down. I still think Squall's going to roll through easily. The more important factor is what this means for jokey kind of characters, but we'll get to that when we talk about the expert bracket a little later. Now let's go back to one of the first matches that we have not talked about yet. It happened quite a while ago, and this was, frankly, my favorite result of the contest. We ended up having Kefka do it again. This guy is always reliable in providing fun and hilarious matches. He did it again, 38%. Zach managed only 32%. But the funniest thing to me is Ryu Hayabusa, with every advantage in the world, still taking last place by over 3%. Very sad, but you got to be very happy for Kefka, and you got to say Old Square is really tearing it up this contest, don't you think, Yo?
Old Square looks amazing, and you know, how fitting is it that this guy, who is like the face of Old Square, the laughing, really creepy, weird-looking face, this is the guy. This is the guy who represents Old Square, that he looks the best out of all of them. I mean, you know, there are a handful of entrants in contest history who are the guys that, like, don't win but are still considered to be legends. I'm not talking about Link, you know, Cloud, Mario, whatever. I'm talking about, like, Jill Valentine losing by 27 votes and then 27 votes. Or, you know, Alucard with match after awesome match after awesome match. Or, like, Frog or Liquid Snake or Master Chief, you know? Like, I think in this match, Kefka saw Alucard's match a couple days prior, where Alucard had an amazing, super fun match against Captain Falcon, and Alucard kind of threw down his sword and said, okay, apart from the Noble Nine, you know, I'm the best guy in the history of these contests. I'm the funnest guy. And then Kefka looked at that, and he was just like, gwee hee hee, challenge accepted. And he shut the shit down. You know what? Apart from Link, I don't know if there is any character in contest history as legendary as Kefka. This guy just doesn't make sense. You know what's going to happen next round? He's going to lose to Laura Croft. He's going to get third place. It's not going to make sense. But at this point, I am just resigned to the fact that I will never figure him out. I am so happy with that. I think I've missed more Kefka matches than I've called right. I couldn't be more happy about that. And, you know, when you see something like this, you just have to, you know, stare at it. And as a gamer, as like a fan of the industry, as a fan of Game Facts, as a fan of these contests, you just sit there and you smile. And that's what I did.
Yeah, the board was not smiling because this was historically one of the worst beatdowns we've ever taken. Only 8% of gurus went ahead and picked Kefka, as we all expected. Final Fantasy VII against VI, we've seen this happen many times in the past, and VII always dominates. So everyone agreed third place. Boy, do we look bad, because 52% of the site went with Kefka. He wasn't just a favorite. He had the full majority of votes. And instead, very few of us picked this correctly. And fortunately, it's only 1.4 now. But as Yo mentioned, we have Laura Croft, who looked very good, 58% of the vote in her match. Altair looked pretty good as well, 44% against Ratchet. So you'd have to think a performance like this makes Kefka the favorite. But, yeah, since he never makes sense, maybe he'll end up third, you know?
I love it. Like, a dozen years of contest analysis, and this is what we've got for Kefka. He just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's all we got. You know, I wish I could say I hate him, but I can't, because I love Kefka.
Yeah, definitely in that pantheon of all-time entertaining characters. I love it. My advice would be to go ahead and take him in your expert bracket, but anything could happen, and that's what makes it always fun in his matches. But let's give just a minute To pour one out for poor Ryu, the ninja, gets a really good match pick. He's posing with his sword. He's got that full, cool character advantage. He's going against two JRPG guys, not only from the same company, from the same series. They were the right back-to-back. Every advantage in the world, and he somehow throws it all in the drain and loses and isn't even in consideration for second place. Wow, is that ever sad? Am I right, yo?
Yeah, that's sad. And I think the main reason is, you know, he got a really cool match picture, but it almost seemed like a mirror image of the match picture Zach got.
Yep.
And I think that's the big advantage that Kefka had and the big thing that he needed to really turn the tide. Like, he looked ridiculous and clowny, and you couldn't make him out, kind of like, you know, traditional Kefka's going to get those really goofy match pictures. But it was bright, and it was red, and it was different, and it was up against these two guys who are both dark and both are trying to be like, you know, badass McGee or whatever, and like have their swords drawn. It was just very kind of, when you see two of them together like that and then Kefka looks completely the opposite, like your eye is drawn to Kefka, and apparently most people's votes were drawn to Kefka too.
And to be fair, we did give you this advice on the show. We said, yes, Ryu has looked very well in past round ones, but it's always when he's up against fodder and his cool character design can win it for him. And as soon as he faces someone with the fan base, he gets killed. So we did tell you not to back him, even though he had every advantage. So that part of it worked out. But, yeah, third place, was not expecting that.
Nope.
Moving on, we had a string of not too crazy matches. Let's just quickly go through them. Cloud won with 66% of the vote. That's right around where he wanted him. And probably the best that Final Fantasy is looking has looked this entire year, because at least once they didn't entirely drop the ball.
Yeah, I think, you know, now after Titus and Yuna have kind of redeemed things, I think Cloud's match is the one that kind of turned things around, because Sephiroth, Ares, I mean, Barrett, they were all just looking really, really bad.
Yep.
So that Cloud performance kind of, I think, now they're on the up and up. Oh, and Jugs McGee, Tifa, she did great too.
Yep.
So that Cloud performance kind of like the portent for all of those.
And although he was just going up against a penguin and some bald senator who didn't get
who is that guy?
He didn't get his awesome roided up picture that's on the results page. Instead, he gets like this super boring white congressman picture. Like, I don't know. So that was unfortunate for him, but he obviously would have never been in contention. So doesn't matter too much. We did have a bit of an upset in the next match. Frog won with 50% of the vote, a little better than we expected, but Beautiful Joe went and pulled the upset on Handsome Jack, 25 against 24. It was very close. The other weird thing about that match is only 42% of the site had faith in Frog. Where have these people been? Frog is always giving us great matches and at least a decent mid card.
It looks like he had the higher seed as well, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, he was maybe Handsome Jack was one of the new seeds.
Oh, one of those high seeds.
Yeah,
okay.
That must have been what threw him. But we killed him there. We were very smart. 96% of who.
I was actually very happy to see Frog do a great job. Actually, Chrono Trigger has looked pretty good this contest.
Yeah,
I'm very happy
definitely.
About that.
Mm-hmm. On the upswing, along with the rest of Old Square, I mean, it would make sense that these guys would be doing good. So that was cool. Lugia did well, beating Sly and Francis York Morgan. Terrible competition, but we only expected around 50%, and he almost got to 60. So that was a good showing there, and a nice little bonus because he got in because we thought he was going to be the guru pick.
Right.
And so our actual guru pick got stuck in a bad match. Lugia got an ideal match and got through. Yeah, so nice little bonus for Super Nice Dog.
One of the biggest blowouts of the first round, too. You can't ask for much more than that.
Yep, very cool. Would be nice to not be against Cloud next round, so you'd have a chance to actually get a read on him, but oh well. After that, we had Dante winning pretty easily, 60%, a little under what we thought. Squirtle looked very good in putting away Ramza and JC Denton. Almost got to 60%. That's about 5% more than we expected. So Pokemon obviously doing very well also.
I'm telling you, that round two match is going to be dynamite, man.
So what do we have here? Dante, Squirtle, and Zidane, who got by Ridley with about 8% of the vote, did a little more than we expected. Yeah, where are you leaning on that one?
Oh, I'm not leaning. I've got all my chips in for the water Pokemon.
Okay.
All of them. It is not going to be close. I am guaranteeing it now. I'm going to sig bet everybody that wants to sig bet me, and I'm going to have Smart Muffin in everybody's sig. Because did you see what I did with Chris and Karma Hunter?
No, I did not see that.
Okay, we had some sig bets, and I got lucky. I called it right, and I was like, you know what? What can I do? I've always got to be a little bit different, you know? To be one of those guys who's kind of like on the forefront of the board, you know? Like, we guide the way, NG. We're one of those guys. You know, we don't just sit idly by.
Yep.
We've got our fingers in, like, so many Bored Ape Pies. I was like, what can I do? I won this sig bet that's a little bit different. I've already given a bunch of people mermaids in their sig. I've given people, like, Fedor Emelianenko in their sigs. You know, I don't want to be just like, oh, Yo Blazer's awesome or something, and that's so boring. I was like, no. You are going to, in your SIG, you are going to rep Smart Muffin's, like, right-wing weirdo blog, and you are going to say, I am proud to share the same beliefs as Smart Muffin. That's your SIG. And so anybody who's back in Dante, you can bet me on this one, brother. You know, and I will fill your dark soul with light and your SIG with Smart Muffin. Give me 2 weeks.
A very risky proposition. I did end up going with Squirtle as well in my bracket, and I'm liking it. The only reason I hesitated is because I thought there was a real chance Ridley was going to be in this match as well.
That's a good point. That one scared me.
Yep,
too.
And that would have, in my mind, easily swung it to Dante. But as it is, with everything we've seen from Pokemon so far, aside from, of course, Mizno, as we mentioned, I think Squirtle's going to take that. So,
yeah. You know what it is, NG? Let me proclaim something else right now. Usually I'm not so boisterous about these things unless I really feel them in my gut, and I really feel this one. I think the board is still kind of the stats topic is still kind of pro Dante. They're leaning a little bit toward Dante on this one. When we get the round 2 match pick of blue Squirtle, hopefully in his shades, in between two white-haired, like, kind of effeminate looking humanoid males, it's going to dawn on everybody at the same time. And all the Dante performers, all the Dante supporters, they're going to be like, holy crap, we done goofed.
Yep.
Just wait for it. Wait for that picture.
So hopefully they'll see that and fix their expert brackets in time, even if their actual brackets are messed up. After that, three pretty standard matches. Shadow got about 50%. We thought he'd do a little better. Leon again did 50%. We were thinking like 55%. And then Gordon Freeman put up the best showing of the three based on what we expected. Almost got to 55% against Simon and Hades. Not great competition, but still a good showing. Is it enough to make you think that maybe he's got a shot against Leon in the next round, yo?
It'd be a lot of fun if the one Freeman could make it interesting, but I don't think he will. I think that 55% expectation we had of Leon was a little bit unrealistic. I never thought he was going to do that well, and I think the driving factor of that is just that he's going to, like, steal all of Wesker's votes. He's going to SFF Wesker into the ground, and we had never really seen, like, Resident Evil SFF. We didn't know how it was going to go, so what I thought is that it was going to go the same way it kind of goes in the Resident Evil favorite poll, and it was like Leon over Wesker 60-40. It was actually pretty respectable, so I just went kind of the same percentage, and that's what actually kind of sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just don't think, like, Leon is Link and Wesker is Ganondorf. It was never going to be that bad, so I think Leon is still fine for next round.
Okay. Yeah, I would tend to agree, though. I do think it should be a pretty close, pretty decent match there. Our next match did feature an upset, however, and here's where we entered Division 6, also known as the Division of Death. These nine results all pretty much killed everyone's brackets outside of the Guru. Site-wide, very low percentages. And the first upset was Missile, the little dog that could, getting by Kerrigan, who is from one of the most popular PC games of all time, who just had an expansion a few months ago that sold millions of copies and that thousands of people are watching online every day. But it's just never been good to be a PC game on GameFAQs, and certainly not a character, and this was yet more reason why. Krona looked really good, 63%. But, yo, how do you explain Missile, who hardly anyone has heard of, beating one of the most hyped up characters ever?
Right. Well, like we said earlier, NG, I mean, Kerrigan and StarCraft and everybody from that series is still paying it back for the 2004 Games Contest. Like, you don't overperform above and beyond your ceiling by that extent without, you know, having to pay it back for years and years and years and years. That's karma, man. When StarCraft beats Zelda, like, what do you think's going to happen for the next 10 years? You pay it back. That's just the way the world works, you know? So Kerrigan's not done. She's going to continue doing this, like, the next few times she's in contest. Then maybe she'll be, you know, gifted like a victory or a respectable performance by the GameFAQs contest gods by their graces. But you know what? I've got to say, like, forget about the rally. I wasn't even paying that much attention to this match. Like, I know I'm supposed to be like, ooh, the big tough color commentator, like the manly man, you know, like I like Link and Ganondorf. How much more manly could you get? You know what I mean? But oh, yeah. I've just got to say, like, Missile had the most adorable match picture I've ever seen. Like, I really want to pet the hell out of that dog. Like, rub him behind the ears, like, who's a little Missy Wishly? Who's a, go get that Kerrigan. Go get that stupid bitch, you know? I got it wrong in my expert bracket. I'm pretty sure my guru was all messed up, but I was really happy that, like, the adorable little dog could do that to a chick with boobs, you know?
Yeah, so maybe this is something we should think about for next character contest. Cute animals. Get them in there, hope they're against fodder, and then back them in our expert brackets and get a big advantage over everyone else who won't know what the picture is going to look like.
It's ingenious. That Nintendog, man.
There we go. Yeah, Nintendog. Okay, the next match also featured an upset, and this was really one of the weirdest ones because it's not like Missile, who just looked cute, against Kerrigan, who we know is bad. We have a lot of data on these two. Lloyd Irving and Big Daddy, Pikachu won the match, of course, very easily, 53% of the vote. But the weird thing was Lloyd pulling the upset on Big Daddy, who just had a massively hyped game from his series. Obviously, he's not in Infinite, and he's not a title character like he was for BioShock 2. But still, I don't know, this was a little bit of a weird result to me. I thought Big Daddy would have this easily, as that's what we've seen always in the past. Got any explanation, yo?
Right. Check this out. I was hoping you wouldn't have me try to analyze this, because it really doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
But it's even weirder than what you explained, because check this out. Pikachu and Lloyd, they're both bright, cartoony characters. Big Daddy stands out. Big advantage there. This was a night match against Pokemon and, like, Nintendo RPG. You know, Big Daddy stands out there, I think.
Yep.
All PS3 owners who purchased BioShock Infinite got a free copy of the original BioShock with the game. And that's like, what, a million people?
Yeah, it was a huge seller.
You know, so free BioShock for everybody who bought BioShock Infinite on PS3. There's more help for Big Daddy there. And Pikachu, you've got to figure Pikachu hurts Lloyd more than Big freaking Daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's another advantage there. And it's still didn't make a lick of sense. The only thing I can say, apart from just him naturally dropping over the last 3 years, because his series, you know, up until Infinite was kind of just, it didn't have anything since, like, the beginning of 2010. The only thing I can say was that he overperformed on Tifa. And, I mean, that kind of makes sense, because I remember that match picture, and that was, like, her least juggy match picture ever.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, that's really all I got.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think. And, well, actually, a lot of the PC bundles as well, if you got BioShock early, you'd get, if you got Infinite early, you'd get the earlier BioShock. So
it
should have been even more support. The only way I can explain it is just the huge drop in votals that we've had since 2010, is costing these characters that are more like character design and just looking cool, and more of a casual game, yeah, and more recent, and in favor of the old, the tried and the true, which is often JRPGs.
Right, the RPG, yeah. That's about all we can really give that one. I mean, numerically, it makes no sense at all, but what you going to do?
Yep. And, of course, there was big debate on this next match, Magus against Otacon. You assured everyone that Magus was going to win this one and win it convincingly. And he ended up being correct. 48% of the vote. We only expected around 45. So very good showing. The unfortunate thing there for Chrono Trigger is, even though the series has looked good, Now, two good-looking characters run into the steamroller that is Pikachu. So
yeah, that's unfortunate. But you know what? At least you know they look good in the matches that they had to win. So.
And the other kind of interesting thing about that match was the site at large does not have faith in Magus. Only 60% against 75% of us correctly picking that in the gurus. So. A bit of a difference there. Yep.
Yeah. All you had to do in Magus versus Otacon was just freaking compare the quotes, man. Compare the quotes of those two characters. Magus is like, the black wind howls again. You know, he's like, if you kill me, what was that thing? Like, if my fate is to die, I can only laugh.
Yep.
Like, come on. That is undescribably, unimpeachably badass. And then Otacon is just like, have you played Metal Gear Solid 2?
Not enough to really know Otacon.
Okay, his handicapped sister dies, and he just spends like 5 hours crying about her. Her name is EE, and he's just like, EE. Literally, for like 5 minutes, they put us through that crap. Like, and this guy's supposed to beat Magus? Really? In what universe? Like, you know what? The people who backed Otacon, you know what? They like cried at that scene. That's so pathetic! Oh, man. Yeah, you guys really suck. All right, let's move on.
All right, so moving on, we had, I thought this was a quite impressive win from Sora, 47%, and held Scorpion to only 35%. Really killed my Oracle, because I was expecting Scorpion to hang in there a little better. Aya also was in there, did around 18%. So everyone knew that result, but Sora's looking good. And that's a good sign for him since he's expected to go quite a ways in most people's brackets.
Right, right. And this is one where I've been kind of laughing at some of the some of my buddies on the board. This is one where everybody could laugh at me because before this match started, I had a queasy feeling. I was like, you know what? I've got this weird feeling that Scorpion can make a match out of this and just like crush everybody's bracket.
Yep.
And it did not happen that way at all. I was totally wrong about that.
Yep, I had a bit of that same sense, and that's why I kept it close in my Oracle. And wow, that really burned me. This next match also burned me. I was back and forth. I was on the fence about this one in previous episodes and ended up being not even close. Gilgamesh, again, old square, looking very good. We thought 43%. He did nearly 52% and killed Booker, who was held to under 37% of the vote. So quite a turnaround, and it was quite a bad result for us on the board. Only 30% of gurus went with Gilgamesh against 41% of the site overall. So we ended up looking a bit dumb there. Yo, however, you did call this one correctly, right?
Yeah, this is one of those round one matches where I was pretty boisterous as well. You know, I had it all in for Gilgamesh. And I just didn't see how Booker could do it. I mean, you guys, when it comes to some of this stuff, you guys gotta think outside the box a little bit. I mean, just use a little bit of common sense. Like, yeah, Booker just got this huge ad campaign, but it was mainly directed at the attractively drawn, like well endowed female Elizabeth, who kind of looks like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. So that like doubles her strength.
Oh,
right,
definitely.
There. Can't believe I forgot about that when like not when picking Thrall. No, I'm so stupid. But like, very little of the ad campaign was actually directed towards Booker. And Gilgamesh, you know what? I know Zelda's a big deal on this site, and, like, Zelda's the most powerful thing, but Final Fantasy's pretty goddamn strong, too. And Gilgamesh is a name that is recognizable to every single Final Fantasy fan on GameFAQs. Every single one. And believe me, that was more than enough to beat the likes of Booker DeWitt.
And, yeah, that's the way it played out. I guess the thing working against us, those of us who know the contest well, is if Gilgamesh is so strong, why has he never been in the contest before?
We've done that a million times.
Has burned us, yes, literally hundreds of times.
Yo, Squirtle, say, freaking missing no Vincent Valentine in 2005.
Vincent's never been in. Optional character. He obviously is not going to do very well, and then he went and killed the whole bracket. So
I mean, Gilgamesh, NG, I think you're more of an old square guy than I am. Gilgamesh is more of an old square character, right?
Correct.
Okay, I'm more of a new square player, and I recognize the hell out of Gilgamesh's name, and I've voted for him with tremendous gusto, because like, who are his opponents? Nobody cares. But this is Gilgamesh from Final Fantasy. You like this series, you're familiar with Gilgamesh, you probably feel good about the character, you vote for him.
And so yeah, you were on top of the world after that result. Unfortunately,
I just read the match below it.
You were brought down to earth instantly. Now, I actually looked this one up, and there were 94 people who predicted this following match, and you unfortunately ended up 92nd for the day in terms of most accurate prediction.
Ooh, oh, no. Was it that bad?
Yes,
good job looking out, NG. I didn't know it was that bad.
So the result, of course, we're talking about is, we've always said, bet on the Legend of Zelda series. It's never led us wrong in the past. Yo, what the heck happened here?
Okay. You know, as foolish and as dumb as I look, and I will own this because I look pretty bad, but this for me, like, as if I couldn't have any more respect for the Zelda series and for fans of the Zelda series, this, like, elevated that respect to another level. Because people always say, it always wins, it can never lose. You know, Zelda, it's the hive mind, the hive mind, the hive mind. There is no other entity in all of GameFAQs with a greater strength variance than The Legend of Zelda. You've got Link and Ocarina of Time at the top. They beat everything else, and then you've got entrants like Groose, who will not only lose, but get walloped by the likes of Lubu, who could be like one of the 10 or 12 weakest characters in the bracket. You know, that strength variance is so insane. Like, the Zelda fan base is nothing short of brilliant when you have that kind of variance, because they're evaluating everything. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's like a mathematical impossibility that they could, like, analyze things this quaintly and, you know, to such a degree and, like, have such standards. I just marvel at the fan base and the series that it's produced. Okay, now talk about Groot, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was very bad. That's what I got to say. And you know what? It's kind of – that's a really, really bad sign for Skyward Sword, because – before we had those Game of the Year pulls with, like, Skyward Sword versus Skyrim, you know, I'm resident Zelda fanboy numero A1. And I was like, I feel good about Skyward Sword. I think it can give Skyrim a real fight. And in a games contest, you know what, guys? I think it could beat Skyrim.
Yep.
And, yeah, man, I just don't know about that anymore. I think it would get crushed by just about anything, because by the time it came out, like, I'm guessing like 90% of the people on the site had sold their Wiis or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the others were just like not very interested in a game, even a Zelda game, that was this motion control heavy. You know? So if anything, I get the feeling that when it was the number two strongest game of 2011, it might have overperformed in those polls just based on its name. And it might be even weaker than that. I think it might, in a contest setting, it might get blown up. I mean, this was a terrible performance, because Groose had, like, everything in his favor, and he just got crushed. There's nothing more to say. The only thing you can really do is try to, you know, relate this to the actual game, which we'll see a games contest someday, and it's just not looking very good at all, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun to see. A mainline Zelda game that was a big seller and got pretty decent reviews going up against something that'll be super underrated and could actually give it a run, just because the Wii backlash on this site. It had already started with the loss to Skyrim, but it's gotten worse since then. And so, yeah,
right.
Skyward Sword certainly not looking good after this one. I did always think that Yoshimitsu would have a chance in this one, and I was very torn on who to pick, but would never have thought Zelda. Only less than 25% of the vote, and easily in last place.
Easily. I mean, Engine, you've played Skyward Sword too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't this kind of a performance, though? I mean, as bad as it is and as stupid as I look, isn't this kind of performance so fitting for the character of Groose?
Oh, absolutely.
It's I mean, perfect. It doesn't get more perfect than that, which is why I kind of enjoyed it, despite the prediction and everything. I kind of enjoyed watching this go down.
And we got beaten up by the site here again. Only 27% of the board did, in fact, pick the correct winner against 39% overall. So not looking good. But we turned things around in this next match, and that was Mr. Game & Watch winning, although it ended up being quite a close match against Lee Everett from The Walking Dead. Meat Boy was also in the match and did quite well, 23% of the vote. And I think he could have done better, but he was against another predominantly PC character and one that's had huge Steam sales and, you know, had Game of the Year kind of honors. So wasn't a great matchup for him, but backing Nintendo and backing the Smash Brothers series did get you the win, though it was closer than we expected. 36% of gurus picked this right against only 26% of the site who went with Game & Watch here. But, yo, you got to be impressed that Lee really hung in there against a Smash character like this, right?
I am. After Clementine lost really, really badly to a fallen Sony, you know, mascot in Spyro, I don't think anybody gave Lee that much hope in this match, and I think a lot of people probably took him to get really creamed. So the fact that he kept it so respectable, and I mean, look at how close it was. You got 39 and change versus 37%. That's really close. So close, in fact, that if you make this a night match, Lee could have easily threatened. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is one of those cases where obviously Game & Watch guys got the 1 point, but it's one of those matches where really on the board there are no losers, because if you backed Lee Everett, it actually you didn't end up looking bad at all. It actually looked very respectable.
Yep. And another very debated match was one right after that. Again, this was such a tough division. Nathan Drake against Pac-Man. There was good support in both directions. People thought this would be a close one, and it was, but Nathan Drake just edged it out 42% against Pac-Man's 38%. This one, we looked really good. 71% of us picked it correctly against only 58% of the site. A lot of people went with the icon against the newer character. And again, doing so made sense given the trends that we're seeing this year. But in this case, Pac-Man just couldn't quite pull it out. Also, Steve from Minecraft was here, and he did terribly, which
yes.
is why no one should have backed Creeper, and I was surprised that some people still did today. But
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Still thought he'd have a chance against Wario, and I said, I don't know how you expect that. Given how poorly Steve looked. But anyways, yo, what'd you think about this? A close win for Nathan Drake, but definitely a very good one as well.
Close win, fun match. This is the one where I threw Smart Muffin into Karma Hunter Sig. You're welcome, big boy. But you know what? I honestly did not end the day feeling very good because I have Nathan Drake, but I also have him in the next round, and he just did not beat Pac-Man by enough to make me feel good. If it would have been a bit more lopsided, like let's say 44 to 35, I'd be feeling pretty good right now. But the fact that it was so close, you know, for round two, I mean, I just don't see, after what we saw in the match right after Drake's, I just don't see how we can pull it off. I just don't. I mean, I know that the term being thrown around a lot, this contest, is generic McDude.
Yep.
You know, that kind of super realistic looking humanoid, like, Western male character who just looks like a dude you just see walking across the street. Not really conducive for like video game popularity contest voting, where we have characters who look like, you know, like freaking Bowser and all that stuff. You got those wild looking characters. But Drake, I don't think he was ever really a generic McDude. If he is, he's like the generic McDude.
Yeah, he's the king of them.
He's the king. He's got like the whole series around him. Sony's given the guy a lot of backing. I think over the past like two or three years, they've backed Drake more than they've even backed Kratos.
Yep.
They've pumped a lot of money into this guy in his series. He had like Subway sandwich tie-ins and everything. He got a lot of exposure. And his games, you know, they have a fan base on the site. They're not huge, but they've got a fan base and they've got some hardcore following. And I expected him to look a little bit better than that. And you know, like I said, after what came next, I just don't feel very confident at all.
Yeah, and what came next was, of course, something that we told you to back on earlier in the year, and that was Fox and Wolf being in the same match and hurting each other and allowing Blue to win. Now, the surprising thing here, though, is that Blue might actually have been able to hold up to Fox even without Wolf there. Because he ended up winning quite easily, 48%. We only expected around 42, and Wolf ended up at 44. So a fairly convincing win. Now, if Fox gets all of Wolf's votes, he, of course, would win. But, Blue definitely impressed me against Fox, who we've shown to be a totally legit character in these contests. Blue looked really good. People thought he'd be well back of Red, but that does not seem to be the case based on this result. Wouldn't you say, yo?
Right. It looks like they're, you know, blue and red are right there around the same level. And I mean, it might be a little bit, you know, ominous or, you know, a little bit like, I guess, it's just not very wise because we haven't seen too much of them to say that. But it's as it should be. Blue should be right there around red. And it's just, I don't know. My only hope here, my rationale for taking Drake was that he's going to get two Nintendo characters in round two and that'd be enough. But it looks like, based on what Fox did to Wolf, that Blue was, you know, going to SFF Mr. Game & Watch pretty darn bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Blue is probably going to be as strong as he needs to be to win that match. Like, even if Drake does come out and surprise and make it close, Blue will be able to take whatever he needs from Mr. Game & Watch and just move on. I can't imagine anything else happening. And, you know, but as for this match in particular, everybody was tossing around the numbers. Like, they're saying, you know, of course Blue's as strong as, at least as strong as Fox in a 1v1 setting. Even if you give Fox all of Wolf's votes, you know, he barely gets like 51%. So Blue is right there. Even in a 1-on-1, Blue would be right there. Blue would probably be the favorite to win in a 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I told everybody to take Blue in this match, I told them to look beyond the numbers, beyond that little numeric 50 plus 50 equals 100 veil, and just envision a match picture in which you've got these two animals from the exact same series, the exact same games, versus a different Nintendo character who looks totally different, and what that's going to do for a Nintendo character. I am telling you, if you run just a random poll one day, Fox McCloud versus Pokemon Trainer Blue, and Fox wins with 57%, don't be freaking surprised, because that's probably what would happen. Like, Blue was supercharged for this match, and that's my only hope for Nathan Drake, is that he'll be unsupercharged when he doesn't stand out this much. But he was supercharged for this match. There is not a chance in hell I would take him over Fox in a 1-on-1. It's a completely different circumstance, completely different scenarios. I'm just asking you guys a little bit, look outside the box and see it. Can you see it? I want you to see it. Can you see that light? Please tell me you can see it. You know? Because if you can't, it's all for naught, man.
And that's the kind of insight you won't get on any other podcast. The beyond the numbers look that we give you here on the show. You gotta
numbers
love it.
Numbers literally meaningless. Missile over link next contest.
So just to quickly recap the Division of Death, I just want to point out that if you are a loyal listener of the show, you should have done very well in this division, because even though the site was falling apart all over the place, we gave you Magus, we gave you Game & Watch, we gave you Nathan Drake, we gave you Blue, and Yo gave you Gilgamesh, although I was still torn on that one. So,
yeah. You would have got through this Division of Death. All would have happened is you would have gotten groosed, and believe me, getting groosed does not feel that bad. It's kind of enjoyable.
And that is, of course, why, mostly because of this division and Yo doing so well, that he's currently number two on the site. And actually, number one, because the first entry there from our friend Carvey is just a fun entry.
Oh, okay.
So you are in the position to win the full, what is it, $500 first place?
Wow, yeah. It's,
if you can just hold on.
I know. That round two is such a gauntlet. And I've got some crazy matches in there. I mean, I've got Mewtwo over Vincent. So, I mean, I feel that it can happen, but I definitely think that Mewtwo's the underdog there. So it's a lot of crazy stuff. We'll see, though. For now, I just want that Carvey fun bracket to fall. I just want to get number one again.
Just screen cap that.
Oh, yeah.
As your desktop background.
I mean, I don't know if it's vanity or what, but I always screen cap. I think I've got screen caps of, like, all the top 50 spots.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been in all of them, like, at least once, you know? But I just want that number one again, because my best contest was freaking Got Villains. So I'd like to be number one in a contest that actually matters.
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal.
So this next division wasn't nearly as exciting. We'll try to quickly go through it. Samus got about 68%. One thing I'll mention there, Isaac Clarke, so pathetic, 12%.
Yeah. Man, what happened?
Getting destroyed by Sandbag. Come on.
Yeah, you know, he looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Isaac looks cool, but I think he's got the most generic McDudist name of all.
Yeah.
Like, Isaac Clarke, you cannot get more generic McDude than that name. And the fact he's got this kind of like, I'm in a cool armored suit with the visor and everything. Well, you're up against the cool character in the visor. Like, you're screwed, man.
Yeah.
That's like an elf. Like, some kind of generic elf getting put up against Link. Or just like a generic Italian guy from New York getting put up against Mario. You are effed.
Yep.
You know, like, he got the worst draw possible.
And I think the biggest thing there is the sight shift. That these newer characters from these modern games used to have support, or at least if they had cool character designs, and now it's just evaporated. So probably don't pick them again until photos spike upwards, which I don't know if that'll ever happen.
Hopefully one day.
Some more good advice that we gave here on the show. It was a very close match. However, TJF won the day yet again. Catherine defeating Niku. Voss was also there and did quite poorly, only 22%. And that was another one that we got on the site. 42% of us went with Catherine, and only 30% of the site went that way. This was actually a better match than the final total shows. It was pretty much within 100 the entire day. And then at the end of the match, I believe it was a 4chan rally. For Catherine that ended up giving her a win of about 600 votes. Still one of the 10 closest matches we've ever seen in terms of all the way through.
Right.
But not really much to say about it because they're all pathetically weak.
I've been missing a lot of the matches lately, but this one, you know, I was just at my computer doing schoolwork the entire day, and I got to catch pretty much the whole thing. And It was actually a surprisingly big amount of fun for characters that I've never played their games. I may never play their games, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And like you were saying, I think it's underselling the fact how close it was. Like, I think this match went the longest in history before somebody could get a 100-vote lead. I think it went like 6 hours before somebody hit 100.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty crazy. And yeah, Catherine got rallied and like won kind of easily at the end, but it was still back and forth, a lot of fun. And I'm actually, you know, looking forward to seeing Catherine again just because she's got so much pick potential.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we'll see what happens in round two. She'll be meeting up against Knuckles because he advanced. The real story of the next match, though, was, breaking Leon's heart.
Yep.
Cypher doing horribly. Only 23% of the vote after what, 5-6 years in a row of Leon trying so hard to get him through the nomination rally tournament. We finally get him in. Now, here's a case where it did work in our favor of, if Cypher was popular, he should have made the contest before. So I'm not going to believe in him. I mean, if you went that route there, it actually would have worked out for you, but.
Or if Cypher is popular, at least he should be a character from an old Square game that got crushed by the boss.
Yes.
You know, a few years ago. So, I mean, so old Square, man. I am just waving the old Square flag.
Yep.
They look amazing. And you know what? I played Final Fantasy VI about a year ago. Pretty good game, but one of my favorite aspects of the games was the two female leads, Terra and Celis. So this made me pretty happy. I love to see it. I mean, and it's almost like kind of like a death knell for the future prospects of New Square, if anything. Because who's left to nominate from New Square? You don't bring anybody in from Final Fantasy IX. They've got that one chick, Dagger, or something. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. Final Fantasy X, I mean, I would like to see Lulu in there, but she's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy XII, you got nobody. Final Fantasy XIII, Lightning's already in. I don't think anybody else means anything. And the big one, Final Fantasy VII, we just got Barrett in, and he looked like stinking garbage. So I think we're done, man. I think we're done as far as New Square goes.
We just have to reach further into that Final Fantasy VI well.
Yeah, it looks like
a huge cast, man. That might be our best bet.
Sabin and Edgar for next year. Let's make it happen.
Yep. You heard it here first.
Yep.
So next match was very expected. Ezio won with 45% over Tails Bomberman. Oran went up and disappointed us a little, only 46. We were thinking more like 50, but still won easily over Ocelot and Roxas. That one was a bit of an upset, surprisingly. 97% of us, of course, knew Oran would win, obviously, but only 56% of the site backed him. So that must have been another seeding kind of upset there.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think after this match, a lot of us were kind of down on Oran and New Square again. And I think Leon Hart's right. He says, you know what, how many times has Nintendo, you know, looked bad in LFF matches where it was two Nintendo guys and they just both underperformed because they can't split that Nintendo fan base? And Oran is with Roxas, somebody who's in his second biggest game, Kingdom Hearts 2, and, like, we can't afford him that same credit. You know, I think we got to be a little fair here. You know, they're, these two characters are very similar, both New Square, both in Kingdom Hearts 2. Ocelot's there in the middle. Of course, he's going to reap a little bit of benefit, so I think we got to give Oron a little bit of credit there.
Yeah, that Nintendo Honor performance was pretty much the story of the entire both four-way contests. It was like, yeah, if there was just one in the match, he'd do quite well. And anytime there was two or especially three, they ate each other's votes and looked horrible. So,
yeah, remember, Liquid Snake beat Bowser and Luigi.
Yep, never forget. luckily, Oron will have a chance to prove himself next round. And this next match was one of the more upsetting ones for me. L Block, huge overperformance, 61%. We only thought 45.
Yeah, but we know why.
But we know why that happened. Yeah, it's not totally legit. And that is because those League of Legends guys who went out and made the biggest rally of all time, 11,000 votes for some character, and now here they have Teemo, who's supposed to be the mascot of the entire game, gets absolutely no support. Looks like one of the weakest characters in the entire bracket, only 12% of the vote, and pushed L Block's vote all the way to the top. Boy, I mean, I don't mind the outside rallying, but you're really killing my expert bracket here, guys, with your absolute lack of rallying for what's supposed to be your big iconic character.
Yes, shame on you.
Shame on you. I mean, it makes sense in terms of he was obviously way behind. It would be really hard to even get him to second place, so they kind of gave up. And the other thing is, how do you rally against L Block?
Right.
The one character that united the entire internet 5 years ago. It's like, who's going to vote against Tetris? So I saw that they were in a tough place, but even so, it really destroyed all our oracles and just upsetting, just quite upsetting.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense either. I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and say that, oh, yeah, Draven cheated or there was stuffing or something going on there, but there were, you know, rally topics on, like, the League of Legends forums, and I think Reddit might have got a little bit of love, not nearly as much as when Draven was up there, but, you know, there were definitely rallies. There was definitely some people tried to instigate or elicit a little bit of buzz, and you would think if they tried to do that, even if it was a totally failed cause, at least the votals would be a little bit higher than usual. And they were no higher than the prior day match with freaking Ezio versus Bomberman. I mean, are you kidding me? That doesn't make a lick of sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah. So. That's a shame, and but we'll find out, of course, a lot more in round two when Draven's up against real competition. What this game is made of, the supposedly number one game in the world right now, and they'll have a real challenge. So we'll see if they are able to get a rally going there. This next match, a little bit disappointing from Dragonborn. He did win and he won easily, but did about 3% less than we expected. Tom Nook did go ahead and beat Pyramid Head. That was nice.
Yeah.
And I did have it in my expert, just thanks to the new Animal Crossing game, giving a little bit of relevancy to Tom Nook again. Also stood out quite well in that pick, didn't you think, Yo?
Yes, he did. He looked great. And
awesome vest.
Honestly, yeah, he looked so snazzy, man. He was, you know, he was like trying to strike real estate deals with both Dragonborn and Pyramid Head. He's like, hey, oh, Pyramid Head, I'll give you that like really looking, that really creepy looking building behind the Burger King. I know you love that shit, you know? But you know what? More than anything else, this match kind of, I looked inside myself and I realized just how weird I am, because this was the match where I had the most trouble voting. Like, I couldn't decide between Tom Nook and Pyramid Head because I love both of them so much. And then I just looked at both of them and I was like thinking, there are no two characters in the whole bracket more different from one another. And I can't pick one. I love them both so much. Like, these are the two biggest, most complete polar opposite characters in the whole bracket. They just happen to be right next to each other and I can't pick, you know? I can't even remember who I voted for. I just sat there for like 5 minutes looking at both of them. I think I went with Pyramid Head. I think I did. And yeah, that was just like the weirdest feeling. So I was like, they're just so different. I should be able to pick one. That's about all I got for you.
Okay. I ended up going with Dragonborn in my bracket because I said there's going to be two major Final Fantasy females in this next match, and after that 42%, not feeling so great about it. Still possible, but we'll see.
Yeah, Wasn't that the X the Nemesis 2013 upset special?
Yes, I believe so. He was going very heavily on Dragonborn there.
Someone just get RKO'd, brother.
But this next match, another one of my very favorites, and just because of the historical significance. Now, what we had here was Yuna winning, did 40%, just about what we expected, advanced fairly easily past Master Chief, despite this being a day match. That's certainly something to point out. Claire also looked good, 25% of the vote, rocking a great pick from Yo.
Yes, thank you.
But what I loved about this match is the prediction percentage. Now, let's take just a minute to go back in history. The original round one upset was Knuckles over Magus back in 2005. Only 35% of the site picked it. And we were so blown away that Magus could fail us like that. But ever since then, see if you can notice the trend here. The round one match that topped that was actually Castlevania upsetting Halo in the best series contest in 2006. And the one that ended up topping that was Master Chief losing to Sub-Zero. Later on in 2006, only about 20% predicted that. But we have a new champion. Only 16% of the site backed Yuna here, making it the biggest upset in round one history.
No way.
This is
the one?
Three times in a row. Yes, it topped everything else. So three different times the Halo series has had so much bracket support, and then we get the actual vote, and it turns out, yeah, no one really likes the series as much as it's been hyped.
Wow.
Pretty funny, and the best thing about that, of course, is that we killed the site, because 54% of gurus had confidence in Yuna against only 16% of the site overall.
Yeah, well, thank you for that history lesson.
Yes.
I didn't know it was quite that deeply entrenched, this Halo flopping.
Yep.
You know, even with the series and first round bombs, lowest prediction percentage, I love it. You know what? This is a case where we were just talking about, like, Kefka saw Alucard perform, and he's like, no. You know, the biggest, like, non-winning legend, that's me. Well, Master Chief saw them both perform, and he's like, challenge accepted again. You know, and you know what, Chief? Not all legends are, like, you know, imbued with victory and honor. Some just go out there and flub it up every single time and just give us tons of fun that way. And that is definitely Master Chief's MO. I mean, the only thing that kind of sullied this a little bit is that by now we see it coming.
Yep.
This was, like, in terms of the numbers, this was, like, picture perfect almost, the way we predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't that exciting, but just the fact that he did it again with every conceivable advantage. I mean, Yuna is, you know, an attractively drawn female knight-based character, like with a booty-flaunting pose. Claire is an attractively drawn knight-based character with a booty-flaunting pose. They look like mirror images of each other. Master Chief is right there, like the ultimate day character in a day match, you know, and just couldn't do it. Standing out like crazy. Couldn't even get close. And, you know, we were saying, NG, that a lot of it probably had to do with Microsoft, like, shooting themselves in the foot and just having such a bad, like, 3 or 4 months in terms of PR. And just hardcore gamers, like the ones who, you know, who live on GameFAQs, like, they hate Microsoft right now. You know, probably more than they ever did with Sony back in 06.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's true. I think that's probably has something to do with it. But you know what? In terms of the board, killing the average bracket maker's bracket prediction, you know who I have to give a little bit of credit to? NG?
Who would that be?
You and me, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You and me. We are getting paid back for Mario Sunshine. We beat those battle drums so hard that those memories are still ingrained in the average board eater's head. We carved out years ago that Chief is such a loser, could never win, that now everybody believes it, and now everybody on the board just benefited for it. Yeah, that's us, man. I think that one's us.
Yep, we got to take credit for that, and we should also take credit for the whole mascot factor. Like you touched on, we said if you're a Sony mascot, that's going to help you out this year, and it absolutely has. And if you instead are a figurehead for Microsoft, there's really only one. I mean, that's the other problem for Chief. Not great timing, and that is exactly how it worked out.
Oh, wait. Alan Wake is the second one. This was clear from the first there you day go. Of the contest. We should have seen this coming. And we did.
So in this next match, things went about as we predicted. Actually, Tifa did really well even with the initial result, because we thought she'd win with about 52%. Instead, she did around 59%. However, I think 3 days later, SB pops on the board and says, Toho has been cheating in these contests. They're bringing in proxy votes. I won't stand for it. So even though the Toho character, which in this match was Cyrano, didn't even manage 15% of the vote, he said, not going to allow it. And he stripped more than 1,000 cheated votes away from Cyrano. That ended up pushing Tifa almost to 62%. So she did almost 10% better than we expected once the cheated votes were removed.
Those Toho fanboys, always with their mischief. I've had enough of this. You know, I was about to cancel the whole contest.
And this is another of our predictions, that this whole contest was going to turn on the Toho franchise. I believe Wait, we what? Said that day one. Maybe my memory's a little fuzzy there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course, yes. The bastion of power known as the Toho franchise. I knew it was all going to come crashing down. You know, you could tell after that last character battle when we got like 7 Toho characters in that it was just all, you know, it was just like a Zynga tower and it was just all about to crash. It was just a matter of time. I'm so glad it finally happened. Good job, SB Allen.
But yeah. What's shocking to me, how do you justify spending, I assume, hours cheating votes for these characters to get them from 12% to 15%? I mean, I understand when your bracket's on the line, your expert bracket's on the line, but you're still in third place by a mile, and someone out there is investing a lot of time in getting them 2 extra percent so that they still are in last by a mile. What dedication. So I tip my hat to the Toho fan base.
Yeah, as do I. if I were a rich man, you know, and it were legal, because I'm a legal and ethical guy, you know, I would buy them a round of sex at a brothel just so I could approach the prostitute afterwards and have her recall to me how awkward of a sexual experience it was. Toho.
Oh, that's a sick burn. But our next match was just standard, what we expected. Mario, 69%, easily beating Duke and Fawful. But then things got exciting because once you know it, those Toho cheaters were at it again.
Not again. No.
No. And they so badly wanted Marissa something from Toho to get by Adam Jensen. That icon, Adam Jensen, would have been such a feather in their cap that they went and rallied nearly 2,000 votes. SB ended up saying 1,995 votes was the exact total that he ripped from Marissa.
Unbelievable.
to push her back under 14%. The end result there is that Vivi ended up looking really good, 62%, more than we expected. But again, on, Toho.
I know a win over Adam Jensen's a big deal. I mean, Adam Jensen, whose game, you know, launched in 2012, actually, most people don't realize this, but actually debuted in character battles all the way back in the 2002 contest and has been a very, very respectable force ever since then. So I understand, you know, what it would have done, you know, for the Toho fan base if Marissa would have gotten this win. But you got to do it fair, guys. Come on now.
Yeah, just go out
there. You
don't
remember that 2002 Adam Jensen versus Alucard, like, barn burner?
Oh, back and forth affair. Yeah. I recall it well.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. The birth of the plan was
got yes. by...
When he got by the ultimate gaming icon, Adam Jensen. So,
oh, man.
Toho was right there. They were right on the cusp. Yeah. Now
you're welcome, Toho fanboys, for these ridiculous-ass rants.
Yeah, you actually got – we talked about your game for 5 minutes. So 5 minutes more than you ever would have gotten. So I guess this rallying did work out for them.
Yeah. I had no idea. I thought it was an RPG. Apparently it's like a – it's a bullet hell shooter.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. It's – shmup.
Well, why does
whoever
a,
you want
yeah out. Why does a bullet hell shmup have characters, let alone characters who look like that? I thought it was just like the ship and other alien ships.
Yeah,
that was it.
Apparently these girls in these matches are all like witches kind of thing. And so they're flying around, and then these enemies are attacking them, and they have to dodge the bullets and fire back. So, very interesting, but that's enough about this series. Okay. Now, the odd thing was the cheating continued in the very next match, because none other than Guybrush Threepwood, the fans were so desperate to keep him ahead of Max Payne that votes needed to be removed from this match as well. So the third match in 3 days that SB had to step in and say, hey, cut it out, guys. And apparently he closed the loophole, whatever that was being used to get these votes. So it shouldn't happen again. But the end result, Ganon looked very good, 65%, about three more than we expected. The surprise here is that Max Payne, who had a multi-million dollar campaign behind his new game from Rockstar that was expected to be a big hit and just didn't do anything and did nothing for him in the contest either. That how do you lose to Guybrush in a day match?
Yikes.
The guy who only gets supported by Europe, and you should be at your strongest in this match. Very sad result there, and did hurt my expert bracket.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had Max Payne in second as well. I missed this entire match. I just checked it at the end and was very happy with how strong Ganon looked. And, you know, after Missing No just flopped, I wish you could swap Missing No and Ganon, because Ganon versus Squall in round two, it looks like it would be a hell of a match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that one would have been good. You know, of course, Missing No, we thought that'd be pretty good before the bracket. Doesn't look like it'll be that way, but, you know, it looks like you could have just moved Missing No up like three spaces and you would have had a great, great round two match.
The sad thing is now Ganon has to run into Mario. So once again, one of the most difficult guys to get a read on. He's always running into Mario or Link or someone else that makes him look terrible when.
Yeah, he's gotten fed to Samus a couple times.
Yeah.
So he's always running into those big three.
Seems like in a fair match, he'd be right up there and. But we'll have to wait another year to find out how we do against Bowser or whatever. Next match, very standard. Squall, about 66% of the vote. Rayman looked okay, 26. Commander Video was making a run at the Chester early in the match.
At like he ended up
at
doubling
like 4%, and then he pulled away. Those VVVVV fans really kicked in the vote later on to get him to 8%. So good on them. Got him up to like four Chesters.
Ooh. Oh yeah,
in the new stats.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how pulling away from Chester means you get one more vote in that update. He's pulling away. Someone voted for him.
That's about how it is. Next match after that, again quite standard. Amy. Went and
I didn't think this was standard. I think Amy kicked ass.
Yeah, actually, I take that back. I didn't see the percentage here. 67%, and we only thought about 60 over Vice and whoever Idal Christian is. But Vice, we have a lot of readings on him. I mean, it used to be the Vice fodder line is something we used to talk about. Hasn't looked so great recently. But with how the Tails characters have come back, you kind of thought that Vice would maybe be in that same boat and end up looking good. And instead, Amy just destroyed him. So good on her.
I guess not. Yeah, I mean, no chance for Amy against Squall. But on board 8, there is a large contingent, especially in the stats topic, who hates all the Joe characters. And you know, considering how Missing No looked, I certainly would not throw out the possibility of Missing No getting third place.
Ooh.
Squall and Amy beating Missing No. I think it could happen, man. Missing No sucked.
Yep. Keep an eye on that in your expert bracket. The next match was Mizno. We've already talked about that. So the only other match that we have to discuss is Wario. Now, he did quite well. Got about 50%. It's like five more than we expected. Creeper looked pretty bad, only 29%. Again, I would have told you this was coming after seeing what happened with Steve. But a lot of people didn't pick that correctly. The King of All Cosmos, which again, we talked about the last guy that Tidus actually managed to beat.
He just looks a little better because King held up pretty well, almost 22% of the vote here. This was another big win for us. 65% of us stuck with Wario in our brackets against only 40% of the site. So, again, Minecraft, everyone is aware of it at least, and apparently that was enough to get the casual bracket makers to say, yeah, this creeper thing could really go on a run this year, and just did not happen. Mm-hmm. Again.
Oh, you wanted me to talk?
You have nothing to say. Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing to say with this one.
All I'd say is
wah, wah, wah.
That and also just not a great site to be a PC character on. It's just kind of sad that Minecraft can become a phenomenon and all these millions of copies and so many people have at least tried it and yet on this site just doesn't get any support because it didn't exist in the 90s. Therefore, we won't vote for it. So today's match, which just started a little bit ago, Red is going out there and killing it. Granted, he's against terrible competition, but he's putting up a Link-like percentage. Let me actually refresh here and see what he's at. Now, as of about 3 hours into the match, hanging right in there, well over 72%.
Oh, yeah. A robust 72.38.
Yep. So, very nice. Again, if we had seen this earlier, you definitely would have gone with blue in your bracket. I would think the average listener would, but timing didn't quite work out. But, yeah, these Pokemon characters are going to be very difficult to knock out of the bracket this year. At least the original generation. Okay, so let's talk about the match. It's going to start in about 10 hours here. This will be too late for our listeners to get advice, but I want the advice because I am so torn on this one, yo.
Sure.
And that is, what should I do in my expert bracket? We've got Cecil. Now, Old Square, as we have talked about at length, has looked really good this year. Mm-hmm. However, it's going to be a day match, and Nintendo, when there's only one Nintendo character, they've looked really well also. It's a day match. It should be ideal for a more Smash Brothers-based character. Rex is also there, and I do think he's going to do well but not be in contention. Between Cecil and Pitt, which way are you leaning?
All right. Well, this is actually kind of interesting because I haven't made my Oracle prediction yet,
ooh,
and I don't remember what I have in my my expert bracket right now, so I'm going to check my expert bracket right now. This is live update, folks.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. I have Rex in third. I've got Pitt in first, and I've got Cecil or Cecil in second, and it's a good thing I saw that because I'm switching it right now to Cecil in first. Good thing. Thank you, NG. I think you saved me because I've been missing the start of matches sometimes, so I might not have checked this. But you know what? I have Pitt in my bracket. I just thought, like you said, this is a day match, Old Square, you figure it's night-oriented. You know Smash Brothers, which is the lion's share of Pit's strength, is very, very day-oriented. There's only one Nintendo character here, so it looks good for Pit, but after we've seen Old Square and Old Square and Old Square, Final Fantasy VI has looked great. Chrono Trigger has looked very, very good. Gilgamesh rocked it. I don't think Old Square has had a bad performance yet. You've got to go with Cecil here. I mean, this guy like put up 48% on Knuckles in a day match. I don't know where the hell that performance came from, but the fact of the matter is it happened, and we have the freaking evidence right there staring us in the face. He's real. He's not just some kind of throwaway joke. And if I could really just have one thing back in the bracket, one of the things would be this Pitt versus Cecil match. Like, Kamikaze Potato said that in his bracket, he's got Cecil winning two rounds as one of his big risks. And apart from Red looking like a total monster, you know, I would have told you a few days ago that was an excellent risk, and I would do anything to have that risk in my bracket. Because I'm just not that confident in Pitt right now. I don't think his game, you know, would have done that much for him. I don't think many people on GameFAQs like played it or noticed. And it's just Old Square's just looked too dominant.
Yep, and that was what I ended up going with as well. I'm still on the fence. I still think it'll be a close match, and there's definitely points in favor of both, but I have ended up going with Cecil in my expert. I'm going to stick with that after talking it through. Like I said, unfortunate that the fans won't get to hear this in time, and maybe it will not work and will look awful again.
But yeah, maybe. But Pitt's in your bracket, right?
Yeah, Pitt is in my bracket. Yep. So I'm switching against my initial pick here.
Yeah, that's one thing I do sometimes, or I've done since the advent of the expert bracket, is like hedging your bets. So that way, no matter what happens, you're not going to feel too bad, unless Rex wins, in which case I'm feeling pretty damn good anyway.
You know? That would be awesome to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of expert brackets, so we're going to get into talking about, there's only one division left, Division 9 in Round 1, so we'll hit on those matches now, but I just wanted to update you. Since the show went away 3 weeks ago, SB Allen has plummeted in the expert bracket.
Oh.
He used to be on top of the world. He's now something like 35 points back of the leaderboard, so there you go. Solid evidence that without this show and him being our number one fan and taking all our advice, he has really fallen apart.
As if we needed any more evidence.
There
it is.
There you go. There's the smoking gun. However, I'm doing quite well. I'm actually in, I believe, 55th in the expert bracket. So just off the leaderboard, but I'm hoping that if I can nail this pit match, it should get me somewhere in the 40s. So,
yeah, very, very nice. So you've got like 290 or something? Or
yep. Okay. Let's see what my exact total is here. Sitting at 289 at the moment.
Ah, very nice. I think I've got 281. So
all right, just
not terrible. Yeah.
Yep, just back. And the way I've been doing it is in matches like this, I've often been banking, playing a little bit safer, and that's what's keeping me up there, just in general.
Yeah, I mean, I still might, when I'm making my Oracle prediction, I might come back and I might just bank for first and second. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not terribly confident one way or the other. I think it's probably going to be Cecil, but it's one of those ones where if you bank, I'm not going to say anything to you because that's a pretty, you know, pretty safe and wise thing to do.
All right, so the start of Division 9 should be pretty much cookie cutter. Of course, there's always the show curse to mess that up. But let's talk about one. Obviously, Zero is going to win his match. However, we talked about old Final Fantasy and characters that are well-known. And so now we have Boko in this match. Mm-hmm. So you'd think second place. And yet, Kratos, not the God of War one, but the Tales of Symphonia Kratos, is also in the match. So between these two RPG characters, both of which have a lot of things working in their favor, after we saw what Lloyd Irving did, what are you thinking here? This one seems like quite a toss-up to me.
You know what? Before I tell you, I've got to take a look at the match picture again.
Okay. Is it up this far?
Two. Oh, the whole round is up.
The whole round is up. Okay. I have not looked ahead.
Yeah. Yet. It's 5218.
Okay.
And Boko looks awesome. You know, that's a chocobo. That's what it is. I'm not familiar with the exact character of Boko, but if the main character, the third character in that poll, would be somebody I didn't really care about, like Kratos from God of War versus Zero, who I love, I would be voting for the chocobo representative in that one. No problem. And, you know, I don't know if it's, like, the name and the picture, or I don't know if the name is quite as recognizable as, like, Gilgamesh, but that is clearly Final Fantasy right there, and I think I'm going to take Boko over Kratos Orion.
Yep. Kratos does look pretty good, though, as well.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad. But, you know what? They are both overshadowed by Zero, who might have gotten the coolest round one match picture I've ever freaking seen in my life. I mean, that thing is godlike.
Yeah, that is really good. Do you know offhand who submitted that one?
I don't know. But
okay. Well, we'll give them props next week.
Yeah, man, they definitely deserve some props for this.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw that picture, I was like, because SB Allen posted all the remaining round one picks at once. It was like 20 pictures at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at that Zero picture and I was like, holy crap, Zero looks better than everyone else combined.
Yep.
And it's not that everyone else looks bad, it's just that he looks that amazing.
Yeah, so he should take full advantage of that, should win easily, but second place, I think it's going to be very close. I am going to back Boko as well for the moment, but that could change if we do see some different kind of results coming up in this coming week.
Now, I have to ask, which exact Final Fantasy game is Boko from?
Was in several. Let's see here. 5, 6 was in 8. 3, number 2.
Uh-huh.
In Tactics.
Okay.
In Tactics A2. So.
This is the specific character of Boko, not just the Chocobo species?
From what I'm seeing here on the Boko wiki page,
okay.
It sounds more like it's a specific character. But got his start in Final Fantasy V.
Okay. No, if he's got multiple like game representation just for his specific character, then I feel kind of good about him.
Yep. So he should have that in addition to actually the the Final Fantasy wiki like mascot that's in the header is Boko. So there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the difference. But
I mean, I spent a lot of time when I finally played Final Fantasy VII, like raising and getting that gold chocobo.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like look at that goofy little bird, and I get like nostalgic feelings. Like I said, if it wasn't Zero in there, I'd probably be voting for the bird.
So the next match that I think is quite interesting now, given what we've seen, Riku going up against the question block of Mario fame. Now, Lindis is also in this match, but doesn't figure to be too much of a factor. I think it should pretty much even out between the two. So I don't know. I was going question block here, but
right.
After Mizno struggled so mightily, and if Tidus can almost get it done against someone who nearly took out Sephiroth, don't you kind of feel like Riku should be the favorite over another kind of joke character in this question block?
I wish I could call her the favorite. I so wish that. I am putting all of my hope into Riku, into hoping that she can do this, because at this point, the only reason if you're not a joke vote fan that you wouldn't want to see it happen is because you'd be worried that Weighted Companion Cube would beat Zero in round two. That's not going to happen. The joke characters are not looking good. Zero is going to roll into round three no matter what. But so that means like you draw the line. Either you want question mark block to win or you want Riku to win. I am firmly on Riku's side, but question block is a new joke character. And what we've seen is that these new joke characters start strong the first time. And then they fizzle. So this is his first match, so you figure this might be like his ceiling or whatever, you know, and he'll fizzle early. But this is still his first match. It's a day match. He's still a Mario character, I mean a Mario thing, you know, an aberration of the Mario universe versus Final Fantasy in a day match. You got to give him the advantage there. And Lindis, I just think another attractively drawn female character might hurt Riku more because it makes question mark block stand out that much more. I mean, are you looking at the match picture?
No, let me move over to it now.
Yeah. Like, the good thing for Riku is that her match picture looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Riku looks great. The problem is question mark block stands out big time. You know, like, I mean, there it is. It's a block. It's a cube. So I'm still probably – I might bank, you know. I might bank, but if I had to pick a winner – I'm still siding with the block, unfortunately.
Now, here's the one thing that I think could swing the entire match. Is this is a 3D question block from new Mario games.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Now, I don't think I need to remind you what happened to New Super Mario Brothers in Game of the Decade. But this modern block is not as beloved and not as nostalgic as what the question block got when it went up against L block and killed it right after it had won in 2007. There was a classic, I believe it was Mario 1 block. And now Mario 1 or Mario 3, if it had gotten that picture, I think it gets that nostalgia vote on its side. But here, I don't think it is going to have quite enough to hold back Riku. So I'm going to pick against my bracket and back square in this one.
I'm sorry. I'm just in shock. Mind blown. Ladies and gentlemen, Riku wins. Thank Endgamer, you know, for this revelation, because that is the mother of all theories. When you said like you started it with the only thing, you know, because like the only thing I think is on Riku's side. You could have given me like a million guesses, and I would have never guessed that those words were coming out of your mouth. That's a 3D block.
There you go.
Holy crap. Yeah, let's do it, man. Riku, all in.
All right, so officially we have changed our stance, even though we have it differently in our brackets. Riku is going to advance here. Go ahead and not even bank, because it got an unfortunate match pick. And I salute whoever submitted that one, rather than Mario 1, because I think Yo said that those things are working in its favor. We definitely have seen every year Mizuno was so strong. Now it isn't looking so hot. L Block killed everyone and looked, I mean, it just looked like a mid-carder in 2008 when it came back. Jokes do get old, so it's a new joke, but it needs that nostalgia factor that L Block had with all its classic Tetris pictures, and this is just not the picture that Question Block needed.
Now I'm thinking that Question Block got pick sabotaged.
Yep.
Who did this?
Yeah, well,
we're looking for fairness here. Yeah.
I salute whoever did it.
Yeah. This is egregious. This is solid shit levels of bad right here.
Yeah, it's definitely a could be a huge swing. So hopefully that plays out, and hopefully our listeners do get to pick up some points in their bracket because of it. Now, one final match that let's talk about before we head out. This one was much debated. Lightning. Now, new Final Fantasy has not looked so great. But then again, Donkey Kong, right up there with Master Chief in terms of the King of the Choke. And the other problem he has is Falcon is going to be there. Now it's
Falco.
Falco is going to be there. Yeah, not Captain Falcon, but instead Falco. And we saw something very similar with Fox and Wolf, where they held each other back. Do you think there's going to be a similar pairing here of these classic Smash Brothers characters that allows Lightning to sneak through? What do you think, Yo?
I do, unfortunately. If the third entrant would have just been, you know, fan base and picture neutral, I would have probably taken Donkey Kong in a second. I am not very high on Lightning at all because the reception that Final Fantasy XIII got from the fan base, even on GameFAQs, was just very tepid. It wasn't very exciting at all. And, you know, I'm just not taking this character to do much, but it is, you know, such a favorable position for her, because if you look at the Nintendo characters and how they perform in LFF matches, the ones that get hit the most are not like Link, Mario, and Samus, because they actually can still do well. Like, they're powerful enough and popular enough that even if they're up against each other, they can actually still look pretty good. It's the mid-carders. It's the lower tier guys who always end up looking horrible when they're faced with a situation like this, and that's exactly what Donkey Kong and Falco are. They're just going to cannibalize each other, and it's going to be like an easy cruise win for Lightning. It's not going to be that close at all.
Yeah, that was basically the story of, kind of mentioned this already, but 2007 and 2008, we thought, oh, Smash Brothers, especially these new Brawl characters, are going to really light it up this year. And they all got stuck in matches with each other, and they looked terrible. So yeah. That's what I see happening here. Even though it is a day match, you'd think that would favor them. Too many things working in Lightning's favor. Also, I just pulled up the match pick, and she looks very good there.
I think she's got Cloud's armor.
Yeah. Very Cloud-like. Huge sword. And Donkey Kong and Falco, I mean, they look good, but again, it's that cartoony Smash Brothers look that anyone who isn't huge on this series, I think, is going to end up going Lightning and should be able to win there. All right, so that covers everything. And once that is done, we will finally be out of round one. Just to point out, though, this is a bit of an oddly structured contest this year because we're actually well past the halfway point in terms of total matches. It's just a matter of so many of them are round one while we eliminate all this fodder two at a time every day.
I know it seems like we're in a bit of a round one lull, but you know the good stuff is coming right up. Right at the very beginning of round two, we've got Shepard and Ares. That one is going to be a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, the good stuff is coming up.
Yeah, there are huge matches coming up. So if you're a little down on the contest, just hang in there. We got that Shepard match. We've got Draven and X again with Ryu. coming up, and then right after that, the next day, we got Phoenix, Vincent, and Mewtwo. Very debatable match there. So there's great stuff just around the corner. All the fodder is about to be eliminated, and I think things are going to be a lot more fun, starting with next week's show, where we'll be recording probably just a little bit after that Shepherd match. All right, so a bit of a longer show because we had a lot to cover, but hey, we're all caught up and we can get right back on schedule, get the guest rotation back in place, and so things should be looking up heading into next week. So I'd like to thank my co-host and guest this week, Yo, for stopping by. Great work as always, Yo.
Hey, everyone else might want to talk about Kefka. They might want to talk about the Chief. They might want to talk about Alucard. But I say, the Groose is still on the loose.
Until next time, this is Endgamer in the Show, signing out.